Right, let's continue the Gemara Beis Hashem. We're going to try and finish the Perek today. Omale Rava Lishemaya, I think is what we're up to. Rava said to his shamash, to his attendant, Ki maisis li, when you bring for me umtsa de bisra, a piece of meat, Torach, make sure that you trouble yourself va'aisi li, and you bring li, Mehecha de Makarev, from where it is close, Lebei Baruch. What does it mean, Lebei Baruch, says Rashi? Lemokoim she Baruchu Shom al Hashchita. When you shech the animal, you make a brocha, Berkas on Mitzvahs. So from that particular place where you shech the animal, that's where you make the brocha. I'm not sure why he mentioned the brocha. Please bring me that part of the animal. Why indeed? Because as we said before, that's the Indian of being Meshivas HaNefesh, that's the part of the animal which is Meshivas HaNefesh, and accordingly if you eat it, it also will restore life and vitality. Okay, says the Gemara, Kruv Lamozo, in quote unquote, that's part of the Brice that we mentioned before, that cabbage is considered very positive for Mozoin, V'tardin l'rafua. What's tardin?
Leeks.
Leeks.
No, beets.
Beets. Leeks was cretium, right. Yeah. Tardin is beets. So, kruv is useful for its mozoin properties. V'tardin l'rafua. Says the Gemara, kruv l'mozoin in ul'rafua loy. So the implication is, if you tell me that kruv is good for mozoin, however, taradin is good for refuah, so the implication is that kruv, however, is not good for refuah. Kruv l'mozoin in, yes, l'refuah loy. Ay, v'hotanya, but we've learned in a braisa, shisha, dvorim, merapin es achoyle, there are six things that heal the choyle, mecholyo from his illness, v'refuason refuah, and the refuah is indeed very healthy refuah. Ve'elohein, and these are they. Kruv, number one, cabbage. Ve'tardin, and beets. Umei sisin, Rashi says is a tavshil shel puliel, some sort of cooked mixture. Dvash, we know what that is, that's honey. Ve'keva, the stomach. Ve'heres, Rashi says shehavlad, that the fetus noitzar boy is created in, which is the womb. Ve yoiseres hakoveis is Rashi tarpesha de kavda, extra part of the liver. So we have a whole list of various foods which are all considered to be very helpful medically, and one of them is, in fact, it was the very first one on the list, which is kruv. So how can you tell me that kruv is useful for mozoin, with the implication being that it's not, however, good for
refuah?
But here it's number one on the list with regard to refuah. Says the Gemara, Ela Eima, you're right, we're going to have to suggest that it's supposed to say kruv af lamozoin, not only lamozoin, af lamozoin. Sure, taradin is good for refuah, but kruv is good for mozoin as well. What does it mean as well? In addition to refuah, not only mozoin, also mozoin. Says the Gemara, this is another quote now from that previous braisa. Oy loy lebeis halefes. Oy loy lebeis. Woe to the stomach, shahalefes oiveres besoichoi, that the turnip travels through. Which is another way of saying, don't eat turnips. Eini. How can that be? Surely, did you really say that? V'ha'omalei Rava l'shemaya. Rava once told his attendant, Ki chazis lifta b'shuka. If ever you see turnips in the marketplace, loy temeli, do not ask me, b'mai korach derifta, what did you wrap your bread with? What does that mean? The word korcha, what does korcha mean? Like for the word korech on seder now, like a sandwich. So, if ever you see turnips in the marketplace, don't even ask me what I want on my sandwiches. which is another way of saying it's so obvious.
I want turnips.
That obviously I want turnips. Therefore, if you see turnips, just buy them and make that for lunch. So we clearly see that, well, that turnips is a positive thing. So how can you tell me, woe unto the stomach that eats turnips? How can that be? Well, turnips is not a good thing. But here he said, Rava said, if ever you see turnips, make that for lunch for me. It says the Gemara, it depends how you eat it. Omar Abaye mibli basar. Without meat. Depends how the turnip is eaten, whether it's plain or with meat, says Rashi. Mibli basar hi kosher. If you eat the turnip plain without any accompanying meat, then it's difficult. Meaning it's unhealthy. Aval kosher mevashla im basar. But if ever you cook the turnip with meat, then the shemen matish koicha. Oh, sorry. Kosher mevashla im basar shomin. If ever you cook it with fattened meat, then the... Right, the fattened meat, matish weakens the koyach of the turnip. That means the turnip is considered to be very kosher, very powerful, can do extensive damage when eaten. But if you cook it up with fattened meat, that will weaken it. And then it's already a healthy thing to eat, and it's not so damaging. The Rava Omar, no. Mibli yayin. It's not the accompanying meat or the fact that it was cooked up with meat that's going to help it. It all depends on whether it was followed up by yayin, says Rashi. Mibli yayin kishe'ein shoyse achareha yayin. If you don't drink afterwards wine, that's when it's difficult. But if you follow it up with wine, and that's what Rava meant, you can make these turnips on my lechem, because he was planning on drinking wine afterwards. Itmar Rav Omar Mibli Basar. So Rav told us, as we just mentioned, it's all dependent on whether or not it's cooked out with meat. V'Shmuel Omar Mibli Eitzim. What does it mean, Mibli Eitzim, says Rashi? She'einoi Shoyl Keharber. Remember, Eitzim is, of course, what you use for charcoal. The more eitz, the more fire. The more fire, the better it is cooked. Says Rashi, there's no proper word, she'enoi shol kaharba, means it's not well cooked. That's when the turnip is dangerous. But if it is eitzim harba, well cooked, then it's fine. For Rabbi Yochanan Amar mibli yayin. So here we have three opinions. Either the turnip is positive when it's cooked up with meat, or just generally well cooked, or followed up with wine. Omale Rava l'Rav Papa. Sudni. What's sudni? Says Rashi. Baal sheichar tamarim. Sheichar tamarim is date beer. Sheichar tamarim, date beer. Baal sheichar tamarim means he's a date beer maker or merchant. Says Rashi. V'Rav Papa moicher sheichar hoya. And Rav Papa, that was his trade, he used to sell sheicha, k'damrino b'vizeo neshech, tarshu de Rav Papoi, Rav Papa shichroi lo yiposid, v'omar Rav Papa, ilav de Ramoi shichro lo yitari, v'hu nikros sudni. That's called a sudni, k'damrino tamri b'chaluzach l'bei sudne rohot. So Rashi brings many proofs as to the translation and also to the profession of Rav Papa, that he was a merchant in date beer. So that's why he's called a sudni. Okay. So Rav Papa says to Rav Papa, sudni. Anan tavrinon la. What is tavrinon la? Tavrinon la literally means we break.
We weaken it.
But in this circumstance, it means, right, in this context, it means we weaken it. That means, we've just been told that if ever you want to eat turnips, you've got to weaken it somehow. So we do that with bistro, or v'chamra, with meat, or wine. But atun, but you, deloy nofish luchu chamra. But you don't have much wine, why not? Because you don't deal in wine, you deal in sheicha. So therefore, what do you do? B'may tavritur lo.
Or meat.
And assuming apparently you don't have meat either. So therefore, what do you do? How do you weaken the turnips? Says Rashi. Deloi nafish lechu tamra. You don't have many chamra. You don't have much wine. Why not? Sheshoisei sheichar atem. Because you are beer drinkers. In which case, says Rashi, b'mai tavritu lo. So for how do you break it? How do you weaken lekoichai shalefes? How do you weaken the koich of the lefes? You don't have bosa, you don't have wine, so what do you do? Omalei b'tzivi. Tzivi is wood. Remember, that was the third eitzah. That means we put it on a big bonfire, we make sure it's well cooked, and if it's well cooked, then that's another way of weakening the koich of the turnip. Kiho, as devisuder of papa, as in the case of the wife, devisu is the wife of Rav Papa, bosar after the mevashlelo, after she would cook it, cook what?
The turnips.
Tavrolo, she would literally means break it or weaken it, tamnon ufi parsaisa. What does that mean? Says Rashi. Ufi parsaisa, bekiois shall eat him. I think bekiois is logs. Logs of wood. She used to put their tamnin, 80. Logs of wood. Gedoilois hoisa. Bekiois shall eat him gedoilois. Large logs of wood. Hoisa serefes. That's what she used to burn. Tachas kederas halefes. Underneath the pot of the lefes. So you see quite clearly that yayin and bosa are not the only available eitzahs. You have the eitzah also of putting a lot of wood underneath it, and apparently when you make a concoction like that and you cook it up well, that will also help weaken the turnip. Tana Rabbanan, dag. Dag koton moliach. A small salted fish, pa'omim shehu memis, could be deathly. When? Beshiva, on the 7th, Beshiva osa, on the 17th, uba estrim beshiva, and on the 27th, va'omri lo ba estrim beshloisha, and some say on the 23rd. What does it mean? 23rd what? Says Rashi. Pa'omim shehu memis, the last Rashi in the Yomud, ve'elohein. B'yoyim shiva yomim lemelichasai. That's what it means on the 7th. On the 7th day after it's being salted, oy b'yoyim shiva asa, oy b'yoyim shiva v'estrim, or maybe on day 23, for some reason, I have no idea why, when you salt this small fish, on its 7th day, or 17th, or 27th, or maybe 23rd, that is when it is lethal. However, says the Gemara, v'loy omron, elo b'mitvi, v'loy mitvi. What does it mean, b'mitvi, v'loy mitvi? It's roasted and not roasted. What does that mean, it's roasted and not roasted? It's not quite roasted well. It's mitvi, v'loy mitvi. Abisal ye, abisal nish. Nishtahi, nishtahe. Aval mitvi shapir. What does that mean, mitvi shapir? But if it's well roasted, as opposed to bit here, bit there, then leslon bod, and there's no concern whatsoever. It's not deathly at all. And the truth is, udeloi mitvi shapir, and even when it's not well roasted, and that's when we said it could be problematic, loy omron, even though we only said it, elo deloi shosa basrei sheichor, only if you don't drink beer afterwards, avul shosa basrei sheichor, leslon. And I guess that's why it was mentioned in the Gemara, because it's a similar type of theme to the previous Gemara, where you have something which is dangerous, but if it is followed up by wine or sheikhah, then it is not so dangerous. It's important to realize, very important to realize, on Thursday afternoons, on Thursday lunchtime, we give a vad here in the Kodel. And we're learning the Indian of ta'am belimud, enjoying one's learning. And we're just now learning a very important principle, sometimes we might think the opposite is true, but it's not true. And that is, genuine enjoyment from learning is only when one's brain is properly engaged. Only when one's brain is properly engaged. That means there's something difficult that needs to be worked out, whether it's to answer a kasha, or even to understand the kasha, or to work out a complicated sugya. That's when you can genuinely enjoy one's learning, even though it's difficult. But when the brain is not challenged, it's very, very difficult, maybe impossible, to genuinely enjoy one's learning. Which means either if you learn in a very superficial manner, number one, or number two, and this is why I'm mentioning it to you, or on an omad like this, where it's very hard to learn in depth. They're very, very bizarre principles, which obviously not much halacha involved or discussion in the Rishonim. So you can whiz through, you can cover half an omad in 10 minutes, and it's all very easy, but it's actually less enjoyable. And that's what I meant. One might think that the opposite is true. Because this is where the Yetzer Hara steps in. The Yetzer Hara steps in and says, don't learn in too much depth, it's too hard. But to the contrary, if you learn superficially, you can cover ground and you can move. But actually, he's tricking you because you'll actually enjoy that less. And I think the Omid that we just learned is a classic case in point. Where, fine, said, of course, we're not going to miss out the Gemara. If we're learning this parak, we want to learn it properly. But at the end of the day, we all know that what's more enjoyable, a sugi like the one we just learned, where you make turnips and wine before and wine after, and a bit of wood and here and there, or you're trying to work out against the sugya and the Rishonim and backwards and forwards and the Havman and the Kasha and the Maskon and the whole Chashmah, that's a completely different story. That's when genuine enjoyment in learning can really be achieved. Okay, let's just now, Be'ez Hashem, learn the last few lines. Marcel, you bought your bottle of whiskey here? Are you driving?
L'chaim.
A cup of water, okay. V'hashoyse ma'im litzmo'oi. Remember we learned in the Mishnah that if you drink water out of thirst, then you make a brocha. So if you stress litzmo'oi, then clearly you're coming to exclude something else. Says the Gemara, la'fukimai, what are you coming to exclude? Says the Gemara, omarav idi ba'ovin, la'fukim, we're coming to exclude leman dechonakte umtza. We're coming to the exclusion of somebody who, what does that mean, dechonakte umtza?
It's choking.
Right, from the word chenek, strangulation. Person's being strangled or choking on umtza, a piece of meat. That means if you have a piece of meat which needs to be dislodged, so therefore you're having a cup of water, why? Just for the purpose of removing the meat, so you're not actually being nehene from the water at all. The water is just being used as a chetimtza to dislodge the meat, and under those circumstances you do not make a brocha. Now if you remember, we discussed at great length twice, a sugya which is very similar to this, and that is sometimes you might take water to down medication. So that might be a similar principle. That if you've got to take a tablet and you're having a cup of water just to be able to swallow the tablet, again, you're not having the water. Why? Because you're thirsty and enjoying the water. It's just used as a medium, as a vehicle to digest the tablet. So have a look at Tosus. Says Tosus, V'davka mayim she'ein loy hana'o. This principle that if you drink water to dislodge a piece of meat, you don't make a bracha over, is only true in the case of water. Why? Because water, there is no other benefit accrued from water other than if you're thirsty. But there's no taste, as it were, to water. Nobody drinks water because you like the taste of water. You just drink water because you're parched, because you're thirsty, therefore you drink. So v'davka mayim she'ein loy hano, which has no benefit, ki im besides for lishtois mayim litzmoim, besides for drinking because he's thirsty, V'ha'ano d'chanakte umtza, whereas the benefit of dislodging the meat, ein ze nechshav hano, that's not considered hano. So that's why, because you're dealing with water, so in the case of water, the only possible benefit that one could have is thirst. That's why we say, fine. So if you drink it because you're thirsty, make a brocha. But if you drink it to dislodge a piece of meat, then you don't. Avol shar mashkim. But other liquids, other drinks, shelo oilom haguf nehene mehen, where the guf always benefits from them, like grape juice or fruit juice, b'chol inyan mevarech, then you would make a bracha under all circumstances, v'afilu chonakte umtza, even if you're taking the apple juice to dislodge a piece of meat. So what's he saying over here? Water is unique. Why is water unique? Because it actually has no taste. Therefore, the only possible hana which you could accrue from water is the fact that you were thirsty and you're no longer thirsty. Whereas if you're just doing it to dislodge meat, then that's not that hana. Well, therefore, what hana did you get? Nothing. But in the case of other mashkim, besides for the hana of quenching your thirst, it does something else for you. What does it do? It has a pleasant taste. And therefore, even if I do it to dislodge the meat, by the end of the day, you enjoy the taste. You can't not. It has a very pleasant taste. In which case, you will make a bracha, despite the fact that you took it primarily to dislodge a piece of meat.
Kal vachomer, when you take it with medication, you would say a bracha.
Oh, so now let's come back to medication. If I want to down a tablet and I take water to down it, then mechoira, we would not make a bracha. Why? Because I wasn't parched. That's not why I took this water. So therefore, it's like dislodging a piece of meat. But if I down the tablet with orange juice, then mechoira should make a bracha. Says Tosfos, that's exactly where he's coming to prove it. Kedamri nolel, as we said early on in the perek, towards the beginning in the Flamed Vav, that we said, va'afal gav de l'refua osi, even though it's coming for medicinal purposes, bo'i berucha, you would make a bracha. Now there we were talking about a slightly different case. There we were talking about that you were not taking the liquid in order to down the medication, rather the liquid was the medication. Not that I needed to swallow my ibuprofen and I now need a cup of water or drink to get it down. Rather, the drink is the refuah. So here comes the issue. If it's shara mashkim, as the Gemara said, even though you're taking it primarily for refuah, but a maisa your nana. Why are you nana? What's the hano?
You have enjoyment from simply from the drinking of the...
Because
the
taste.
Taste.
Right, that's the hano. All other mashkim, besides for mayim, besides for the fact that they quench your thirst, but they also have a pleasant taste. Therefore it's true, I'm not taking it to quench my thirst, but you can't deny the fact that you enjoy the taste. So therefore says Tosfos, what do you see from there? That when our Gemara makes a distinction between thirst and dislodging meat, that's only referring to
water.
Shar mashkim, you always make a bracha. Says Tosfos, v'Rav Amram Piresh. Rav Amram says the dafka lefonov loy. That which we say that you don't make a bracha on mayim, when it's taken to dislodge a piece of meat, is only a bracha rishoyna. Avol acharov chayev. But you do, however, make an after bracha. V'Rabbeinu Moshe Pireish. V'Rabbeinu Moshe says, Deloi, it is simply not true.
We had a Gemara that said it wasn't true.
Look up an after bracha?
Yeah, it says you'd never make a after bracha that you didn't say a bracha Rishona first. We just had that, didn't we?
No.
No?
We said you can't have an after bracha without a first bracha, but you can have a first bracha without an after bracha.
Right. And you can't have an after bracha without a bracha
Rishona. Oh, I see, in that order,
this
right.
This is the
right,
case
right.
of having an after bracha without a bracha Rishona.
Okay, 1 second. Let's finish asking a good kasha. 1 second. Rabbeinu Moshe Pireish Deloyi. It's not true. Dehoyel ve'enoy nene. Seeing as you're not benefiting from it because you're just having it to dislodge meat. Afilu la'acharov le'boi brocha. If you would not make a brocha afterwards at all. So machlekes. So Moshe Zelig is asking a kasha. What's pshat in Rav Amram? How can Rav Amram say that you don't make a brocha lefonov? But you do, however, l'acharov. Our Gemara said over before that if you make a bracha afterwards, you have to make a bracha lefonov. Gemara says there's no such case of making one an after bracha without the first bracha. And here you've got one. Psh, gewaldig kasha. That's a very good kasha.
The difference is, in Rav Amnon's case, I mean, this is an emergency. This is not, you're not drinking it for Hana. You know? You don't have time to make a bracha. You have to drink. By the time you make a bracha, you could pass out already.
That's a good kasha.
The brunch you did.
That's a good kasha. It's a good kasha. No, he does have time to make a brocha.
Wait, he's choking?
All right, we said shar mashkim, you make a brocha. You only don't make a brocha on water, but if you down your meat with orange juice, you do make a brocha. So clearly he's got time. That's what Tosis just said.
That's true.
Tosis says, only mayim do we distinguish between thirsty people and people who have meat stuck in their throats. But otherwise, you always make a bracha. So clearly, we're not talking about somebody who's on the verge of death over here. He's got whatever, something stuck in his throat, a bit uncomfortable. Fine. So he can make a bracha.
But why would you make a bracha Rishona to start with if you're having sitting in a meal? You already made a shahakol on the meat. And if you have juice or something else that's sitting at the table, you wouldn't be making a bracha.
If you did, if you didn't. So he didn't have juice on the table. Fine. So he didn't have juice at the table. And now he's bringing juice only for the purpose of dislodging the meat. So you're asking Akasha, how can a Rambam say you make a bracha afterwards? Al Gemara says, anybody, anything that needs a bracha afterwards needs a bracha lefonov. So we're going to have to say a doichik. That brisa means, it's not referring to every circumstance, it's going on the food. That type of food that requires an after bracha requires a first bracha, which is true. Mayim and Shara Mashkim do require both an after and a first bracha. What about the general rule of the food? Here's not the general rule. Here's a particularly weird circumstance, a bizarre circumstance in which he's drinking just for the sake of dislodging meat. It's not. It doesn't contradict the rule. That's what we're going to have to say. Okay.
Does having a dry mouth, is that the same thing as thirsty?
It's a good shiloh.
Like you wake up in the middle of the night
mm-hmm.
and your mouth is just parched.
It's a very good shayla.
You're not thirsty, but
I once discussed this. I once discussed this with Rabbi Jacobson. Because the shayla that he was talking about was the following. Very, very interesting case. What would be, we know that on Friday night you can't eat or drink before Kiddush. Can't eat or drink before Kiddush. So he said, Maisa Shahoya. Somebody was in shul giving a drasha on Friday night in shul. and his throat became very, very parched. Can you have a bit of water now just to lubricate the throat? Now, if he's drinking in order to benefit from it because he's thirsty, then obviously it's asr, because you're not allowed to eat or drink before Kiddush. Now, would he be allowed to take some water before Kiddush to dislodge a piece of meat? He's got a piece of meat stuck in his throat. Is he allowed to have water just to down the meat, but he hasn't made Kiddush on Friday night? So very logically, what would logic dictate?
I'd say, why did he have the meat?
From this afternoon, by the way.
Okay.
You say no.
You'd say it's os of him? I'd say it's mutter.
I'd say it's mutter.
He's not eating.
He's just dislodged the meat.
He's not putting the meat. The meat's finished. He's eating the meat.
No, I mean, we're saying to take some water simply just to help.
Just to down the meat. So he's not eating, he's not drinking. And the biggest proof of the fact that it's not considered drinking is not making a bracha. Only if you are shoyser litzmoy. But if you're shoyser d'chanak de umtze, then you don't make a bracha. So l'chayra, there'll be very big grounds to suggest, therefore that's mutter before Kiddush. Same would be true, therefore, if you need to down a medication. What's halacha? Before Kiddush on Friday night, you've got a headache. I'm not getting involved in Hilchos Refuah now on Shabbos. Whatever, the Rav says you're allowed to take this medication on Shabbos. Are you allowed to down it with a cup of water before Kiddush on Friday night?
Yes.
That's not considered drinking. How do I know it's not considered drinking? Prove it to me. The fact is, not making a bracha. So that itself is the greatest proof. If you're not making a bracha, see, that's not classified as drinking. So if we have this shayla, Besedas, what about the guy who's got a sore throat and it's impeding his ability to give his drasha? So when you down that, is that considered thirsty? That's not your shayla. Or is that just considered your throat is dry, so just need a bit of lubrication? You might say that's what thirst is always. That's what thirst is, no? What is thirst? So your stomach's dry or your throat's dry? If you meet Rav Jacobson, ask him the shayla. I seem to remember that Rav Kornfeld was having none of it. So of course that's called litzmoi. That's considered thirst, and if it's asa before Kiddush, and you'd have to make a bracha on it. I think, but if you...
Middle of the night is not asa.
No, the question is, you have to make a drink.
Every night.
The question is, you have to make a drink. That's why you have to make a bracha.
You do have to make a
bracha. No, that's our question now. Okay. That's your shayla.
Okay.
So if we're going to compare it to this other case, where on Friday night you're giving a drosh and your throat's dry, if we consider that drinking, then in your case as well, so you have to make a bracha. Zot the Gemara, Reb Tarfon Oime, Boy Reir Nefoshe, His Rabbis Vechizroin on. This is Machlekes Tanoim. Our Mishnah says that what bracha do you make on when you drink Mayim Litzmoy, Shakel Nebidvori? And Reb Tarfon says, no, Boy Reir Nefoshe. Now, which bracha is that talking about for the moment? Bracha Rishayna. Bracha Rishayna. Says the Gemara, Omale Rova Barav Chanan L'Abaya. V'omri l'olav Yosef hilchas emai. So what's that halacha? Machlokes Tanoim. One says you say shahakol on water. One says you bring bar nefashe. So what do we do? Omale puk chazi. Very very famous phrase. Puk means go out. Chazi and see mai ama devar. What is the custom of people? I don't know. See what the minig is. Go with the minig. Mai ama devar. Puk chazi. My Amadavar, says Rashi, Heich Noyagim. You have to see how are people behaving. What's the general custom? The Kva Noagu Levorech Betchila Shahakoil. So there it is. With Machloik, as the Tanakama says, Shahakoil, and Tarfon says, Bari Nefoshes. Says Rashi, the general custom is, and of course we know this is our minig, is we say Shahakoil, Bracha Rishayna. Ula Besoif, we say Borei Nefoshes Rabbeis Vechesroinon Al Kol Ma She Bora. Now Rashi suddenly throws in the after Bracha. That was never our discussion, Lachir. L'chayra, our discussion was the bracha rishona. Is it shahakol or is it bari nefashis? What's the halacha? The minig. What's the minig? Shahakol. Rashi says, and also bari nefashis at the end. So let's immediately see tosis. Rabbi Tarfa, my bari nefashis rabbi is perish lefonav. In other words, Reb Tarfon and the Tanakama were only ever discussing the bracha Rishoyna, to which the Gemara says, Upuk chazi mai amadvar, vihine noagu ha'oilom, levorech le'acharov. The Tanakama and the Reb Papa's discussion was about the bracha lefonov, but actually the minhag is to make that brocha, which brocha? Of Boyer and Nefashos, afterwards. Says Tosfos, Avoloi Motzinu Lefarish. But we cannot, however, explain the Pligi Belaacharov. Don't try and explain that the machloikas between the Tanakama and Rav Papa is in fact about the Brocha Achreina. And what would you want to suggest? You would say, the Tanakama sovar de mevarich lefonov v'loy l'acharov. You might suggest the following. That according to Rav Papa, you make a first Brocha and not an after Brocha. According to Tanakama, and yet Reb Tarfon Sovar, and that no, af le'acharov yivorech bar nefashis rabbis. So what Tosfos is suggesting? When we read that Mishnah for the first time, the Mishnah spoke about bar nefashis rabbis. What did everybody think? First glance, ah, bracha achreina. Why did we think that? Because that's what we're used to. Says Tosfos, that's not true. The discussion is bracha rishona. But you might be tempted to suggest otherwise. What might you be tempted to suggest?
Bracha.
That when Rav Pop, when Rav Tarfon says bracha nefashos, what is he referring to? Bracha achreina. That's what you might be tempted to suggest. And that the machloikis that he's having with the Tanakama is not what is the bracha rishona. Rather, the shaila is, do you make a bracha achreina at all on mayim? So according to the Tanakama, you only make a bracha rishona, which is what? Which bracha?
Shakel.
To which Rav Tarfon is saying what? That yes, you're right, you make shahakel as a bracha rishona, but you also have to make a bracha achreina, which is bari nefashos. So when the Mishnah says that Reb Tarfon Oimer bari nefashos, he didn't mean, according to this suggestion, that that's the bracha rishona, but rather he meant that that's the additional bracha achreina. That's what you might be tempted to suggest. Says Tosfos, I'm very sorry to tell you, it can't be. Now in a minute we'll see the proof. But if it can't be that that's the machlokes, so what is the machlokes then? What at the end of the day is the machlokes therefore between the Tanakama and Rav Tarfon?
Bracha achrona.
Nope. That's Tosfos' suggestion.
Oh, okay. Bracha rishona.
That's how Tosfos started off. Those are Tosfos' first two words, yeah. Pirish lefonos.
Right.
The whole machlokes, Tanakama and Rav Tarfon is, what is the bracha rishoina on mayim? Is it shahakoil or is it bari nefashos? But you might, in theory, be tempted to explain incorrectly that they all agree what the bracha rishoina is, and that is shahakoil. And when Reb Tarfon said bari nefashos, he meant bracha achreina, because according to the Tanakama, there is no bracha achreina. And maybe, just maybe, this is a mistake, says Tosfos, but maybe you might think that the machloikas between the Tanakama and Reb Tarfon is not what is the bracha rishona on mayim, but rather, is there a bracha achreina at all on mayim? Now, one second. Does this sound strange to us, or does this ring a bell? That there might be a discussion about whether you make a brocha achroina on mayim. So what does that remind us? Obviously, of the Gemara we just learned on Mem Daled Amud Beis. There's one opinion that says you don't even make a brocha achroina on yirokos. Another opinion says you do, but not on mayim. So there can definitely exist a concept like this, that maybe there's no brocha achroina on mayim. Maybe there is, maybe there isn't. Ah, okay. So why can't we suggest that that is in fact the machloikas between the Tanna Kamma and Rav Tarfon? So according to this reading, which is a mistake, as Tosis is about to prove, how would we read the Mishnah? It says, Hashois amayim litzma'oi. If somebody drinks water when they're thirsty, they say, Shahakoil. Rav Tarfon oimer bar nefashos. What does it mean, Rav Tarfon oimer bar nefashos? According to this suggestion, what's Rav Tarfon mean? And when he says Bar Nefashos, he means not instead of Shahakoil, it means as well as Shahakoil. You say you make Shahakoil only, and I say no, it's Shahakoil as well as Bar Nefashos. Says Tosis, that can't be. Why not? Dim Kain, because if that was really true, Ki parich le'el mirav papa demavarich. Because Rav Papa was the one who said on daf mem dalad on base, if you look on the fifth line, Rav Papa omar afilu maya, that what? You do make a brocha achreina. And if you remember, the Gemara got very upset with Rav Papa. Remember what the Gemara asked? Gemara says, oh, really, make a brocha achreina? So how is he possibly going to learn that Mishnah that says that sometimes there's a bracha rishayna and there's no bracha achreina? What's that case? Can't be mayim, because mayim you do make a bracha achreina. The Gemara got in big trouble. Maybe mitzvahs, maybe not, maybe... One second. Why are you blaming poor old Rav Papa? If you're telling me that Rav Tarfon holds that you make a bracha achreina on mayim, which is bar nefashos, is what Tosis is trying to suggest, then why is Rav Papa in trouble because he doesn't fit in with a certain Mishnah? Beseder! But he's got Rav Tarfon to back him up! Because Rav Tarfon is a Tana, and Rav Tarfon is saying, according to this suggestion, they make a bracha achreina on mayim. So don't point the accusing finger at Rav Papa and say, well, it doesn't fit in according to some other Mishnah. Say it, shkoich, it doesn't fit in with that Mishnah. But I've got Rav Tarfon backing me up. It says, Toisves imkein. Ki porich le'el me Rav Papa. When we asked before on Rav Papa's opinion de Mavarech, he was the one who said, you do make a bracha achreina. L'sayei. What does l'sayei mean? Let's support him, mi milsa, to Rav Tarfon. For Rav Tarfon's statement, why should Tana? Because he's a Tana. So how can you start asking kashas and telling me that Rav Papa's a very difficult opinion to follow? Okay, but I've got Rav Tarfon backing me up, and Rav Tarfon is a Mishnah. So if it's okay for Rav Tarfon, it's okay for me. And yet the Gemara didn't do that. So if the Gemara didn't do that, what does that prove? That the discussion in our Mishnah is nothing to do with Bochachreina. And it is only discussing Bochachreina. And those are the first two words of Tosis when Tosis says, Pirish Lefonov. So that's the construct of Tosis. The whole Machloikas between the Tanna Kamma and Rav Papa is what? Is the bracha rishona on mayim? Nobody in this omud is discussing bracha achreina. That's not the discussion. The discussion is, you make a bracha rishona. The question is only, which one is it? Is it shahakoil? That's the Tanna Kamma. Or is it bar nefashos? That's Rav Tarfon. To which the Gemara said, puk chazi mai amadavar. Go out and have a look and see what the custom is. And we say, right, absolutely the custom is to make a bracha of shahakoil. But what's the after bracha? Nothing to do with our omud. However you paskin on that mem daladama base, if you paskin like Rav Papa, then there's an after bracha, and if there isn't, there isn't. So as it happens, as Tosis already told us, as Rashi already told us, that minig that taught us that the first bracha is shakoil, that minig also taught us that the after bracha is bronafoshes. You do make an after bracha. And what is it, bronafoshes? That's what halacha lemaisa. Hadron Allah Ketzad Mavorchin, Hadron Allah Ketzad Mavorchin, Hadron Allah Ketzad Mavorchin, Shloisha Shaochlu Kachas Chayovin Lezamein. If three people ate together, then they chayev to make a zimun. So a big mazel tov to the whole Chabura. I'm finishing this parak, Gemara, Rashi, and Tosis. Big achievement. What we will do, Be'ez Hashem, is on Tuesday, we will do Chazara from the beginning of Mdala Domad Aleph. And all things considered, I think we're going to go back now to the fourth Perek. If you turn to the fourth Perek, it's also very much Halacha Maisa. It is on Daf, Chof, Vov, Amud Aleph. Tfilas Hashacha. We've now finished learning Hilchos Brachos, but this parak actually deals with the Zmanim of Tefillah and other very important halachas of Hilchos Tefillah. So I think we're going to go back there and we're going to see how that goes. We'll make a start, Be'ez Hashem, either on Tuesday or on Thursday.
Fantastic.